is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical. It's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, I want to take you back a little bit in time. Get on the Gruber time machine again. Take a step back in time to November the 3rd, 2017. And the reason I want to do that is I want to go back and look at a story written by the Washington Post on November 3rd, 2017, why Russia's Facebook ad campaign wasn't such a success. All of this noise and chaos following Robert Mueller's indictment of 13 Russians and three Russian companies on Friday has people on all sides saying, well, you see, the Russians did this and they affected the election and they got involved and lawmakers making a lot of noise, people like Mark Warner, calling it a great return on investment. They're meddling in the 2016 campaign. Lawmakers made such a noise about how such intervention undermines American democracy and threatens national security, and some went so far as to suggest that it tipped the presidential contest. Mazie Hirono, the Democrat from Hawaii, said in an election where a total of 115,000 votes would have changed the outcome, can you say that the false and misleading propaganda people saw on Facebook didn't have an impact on the election? Yeah, we can say that. We can say that. This article, by the way, in the Washington Post from a digital advertising campaign manager who did campaigns on behalf of candidates in contested battleground states, and if the ads revealed this past week were an attempt to influence the election, they were a laughably botched and failed attempt. The total amount spent was less than what I've spent online in competitive congressional races. The ads were not well targeted to the battleground states that were most decisive, and the subject matter was designed to engage extremist voices on the political fringe, not persuadable voters undecided between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Now, this matches exactly what was said by the Facebook vice president, who said the Russians weren't trying to affect the outcome. They were trying to create division. And that was said on Friday. So there you go. And let me continue. Vladimir Putin's propaganda victory is not the advertising itself, but the notion that $100,000 worth of poorly targeted Facebook advertising could swing a presidential election. It cannot. It cannot. It is important for the United States to acknowledge that Russia's efforts were a direct attack on our democracy, but in the same way that we do not describe a terrorist attack as a victory for the terrorists, those seeking other explanations for November's results should not succumb to the temptation to declare Russia's meddling decisive. Let me give you some more information from this article that's really important. The Russian content, which, by the way, here it is. News of Russia's meddling produced some scary-sounding numbers. As many as 126 million Americans reached on Facebook alone. 126 million. A further 20 million on Instagram and 1.4 million tweets were sent by Russian-affiliated accounts in the 2 months leading up to the election. Yet, the Russian content was a tiny share of the 33 trillion, that's with a T, the 33 trillion posts Americans saw in their Facebook news feeds during the election cycle between mid-2015 and early 2017. 33 trillion posts. What the Russians did was trivial. Any success the ads had in terms of reach seems attributable largely to the sheer doggedness of the effort. With 80,000 Facebook posts in total, Facebook reported that a quarter of the ads were never seen by anyone. Think about that. Okay, this is Facebook. The Russian ads, the big decisive, fully one quarter were never seen by anyone, all right? And with the average Facebook user sifting through 220 newsfeed posts a day, Many of the rest were simply glanced at, scrolled past, and forgotten. With $81 million spent on Facebook by the Trump and Clinton campaigns, mostly to mobilize core supporters to donate and volunteer, a low six-figure buy is unlikely to have tipped the election in any way. The Russian effort looks even less influential when one considers the tiny amount of Russian Facebook spending directed at key battleground states. Let's go to three: Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. And again, this is from the Washington Post, November of last year, November 2017, 4 months ago. The total spent in Wisconsin, $1,979. That's right, $1,900. In Michigan, $823. And in Pennsylvania, $300, even. From an electoral perspective, says the Washington Post, the campaign was remarkably unsophisticated. Of course, some people click and like and share. Where Russia appears to have made more headway before and after the election is in further animating partisans, capitalizing on the need to have their existing beliefs confirmed. Bias confirmation. It didn't matter that those confirming their beliefs were foreign adversaries. Right, Michael Moore? Michael Moore, who attended the November 12 anti-Trump rally in New York City, Michigan's own Michael Moore, activist, motivated by the Russians and a Russian-sponsored event. I wonder if he'll come out and apologize and say he was duped by Vladimir Putin, because he was. According to his logic, he was. Because he went to the anti-Trump rally put together by the Russian troll farms. At least in some cases, it did translate into action. I mean, at that November 12th anti-Trump rally, more than 33,000 people expressed interest in going. That was posted by Russian agents. Thousands did attend. Right, Michael Moore? The ad spending that we know of to promote the rally was $1.93 to serve the post to 188 people. Yet, touching a raw nerve, news of this event spread organically, and no one bothered to dig into the sock puppet Facebook page behind the announcement. So they spent, you know, a little bit of money. They got people fired up. On the same day, they created a pro-Trump rally across town. The same day. Despite all the focus, compared to friend-to-friend sharing, a relatively small share of the Russian campaign was driven by advertising. Just 10 million of the people reached came in through the advertising campaign out of 29 million who directly read Russian posts in their news feeds, and up to 126 million who were exposed indirectly through their Facebook friends. The Russian effort depended on the willingness of some Americans to go along with it and share. Right, Michael Moore? Yeah. The nerve of these social media users is, in fact, more troubling than the advertising itself, and one not as easily addressed by policy. So there you go. Almost no money was spent. Did not affect the outcome of the election, so says the Washington Post. $823 spent in Michigan. $823. They spent more in Maryland and Washington, D.C., and other places where Hillary Clinton won by a mile and Donald Trump never stood a chance. Think about that. 14 after, you're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.